Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portal of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valley. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home.
There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or in some far off distant strand. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. I've seen some pretty towns, guess you could say I've been around. Found no place to settle down. There is a land. Oh, I'm just a pilgrim here, toiling through a world of fear. My time to leave is drawing near. I'll go to that land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand. I'll speed up and there slow down. There is a land. Why am I so homesick for just not myself here anymore? Waiting for that open door that leads to that land. So I'll dry those weeping eyes, lift my head toward the sky. Farewell to this world, goodbye. I'm going to that land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand. I'll speed up and there slow down. There is a land. Why am I so homesick for just not myself here anymore? Waiting for that open
open door that leads to that land. So I'll dry the weeping eye, lift my head toward the sky. Farewell to this world, goodbye. They're going to that land. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. I'm going to that land. And it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand. I'll sit up and they'll slow down. There is a land. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the saint, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. It's truth that's marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. It's truth that's marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. That song has been sung millions of times all over the world, all over America. Glory, how his truth is marching on. And, you know, they sing it, but they're completely clueless what that truth is that's mm-hmm. marching on. They're completely, they just sing it. But here, you got the truth, because we're just marching on. It's been marching on ever since, well, since the dawning of time, the truth is marching on. But especially here at the, when Jesus came, and he kind of shifting gears to grace age. And then before he left as a, he left us a compass, a North Star. And he said, this is going to be eternal life that they believe on them whom I will send. He sent his seven, he sent his seven angels throughout the grace age. That's the truth of the matter. Yet people sing, glory, hallelujah, his truth is marching on. That's where he is marching, throughout the grace age. He drew these seven stars. It's the pure truth that we're seeing here. And here is the last leg of the journey. It's still marching on. Just because people don't know what that means, where the truth is. But this is it. This is that truth that's marching on. That's been marching since really the dawning of time. It's just you know, it's simple to see what you and I are coming from. Like we said yesterday, I think it was, God is building, that city that John was looking for, the city that Abram was out to search, it's a city that Moses was willing to go down to these mud pots with these Israelites, and because he was looking for a city, and he knew Egypt was not it. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, and this is the city that's building it. He's building it. He's continuing to build it. It's not finished yet, but he's continuing to build it. And we just have to tap in and find out that God sent the prophet. That's part of that structure. That's part of that building that God is building. It's not something new that we're doing here. It's just, we just found our place in Christ, and we're just doing exactly what the Lord has called us out to do. But anyway, I just thought when I saw that song here, His truth is marching on. For a lot of people, it's just words.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, I just want to stop for a moment in time and just give you thanks for another day of life, another night of protection, Lord, the many things you do for us, Lord. Just pray that we'll never come to a place in our lives where we would take it for granted, that we always just be mindful and grateful for what you've done for us. You've allowed us to see the scriptures. You open up the scriptures to us in Zen time. You've allowed us to see a crystal clear picture of the end time, Lord. And we just are awed and amazed that you would consider us even, Lord, that you would even think about us, Lord. What is man, Lord, that thou art even mindful of him? And what is the son of man that, what are we, Lord? We're nothing but a speck of dust, a problem, Lord. That's all we are. And but somehow we found grace in your eyes that you give us an end time, crystal clear picture of the end time. And we never want to take it for granted. We never want to come to a place, Lord, where we feel you owe it to us, Lord, like. And we just always want to be mindful and grateful of your care and keep. We just pray you'll just continue to do with us as you see fit. Use us for your honor and for your glory, because there's nothing in us, Lord, that can produce anything. We come to that realization, Lord, a long time ago, Lord, that there's nothing in us. So we just pray that you'll lead and guide us by that of your Spirit, Lord. Do with us as you see fit. Most of all, Lord, I pray you'll open the hearts of the people, Lord, for us, the God of this world, has blinded the minds and the hearts of the people that they can't see this glorious light, this spiritual gold mine that we're trying to introduce to the human race here, Lord. And we just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that? There's the scripture here. I thought about that. That woman.
20:20, Matthew 20:20.
It's Matthew. Matthew 20:20. A mother's request. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. You know, just picture now. There's the mother, and then she got, brings the two sons along. They were about maybe, I'd say they were maybe 18, 20, 20 years old, with her sons worshiping him, like falling down before him and desiring a certain thing of him. Like she was serious, and the boys too, because they had a talk at home in the house, and they figured that's what they want to be, like so many natural people want. They want to be the thunders. They want to be important. And the mother, she wanted her sons to be important. And he said unto her, like this is right down to the nitty-gritty, because he felt, the other translation says, I think in Mark or Luke, says she fell down before him worshiping. And like, this
that's
is
what
a,
it says,
this
yes.
is a desperate plea.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto, see that she fell down?
She worshiped him.
Yeah, she worshiped him. Yeah, I think Luke said she fell down before him. Like really, this is a heart wrenching request, and that's part of the human race. Let's not just jump on her, because it's the human tendency of people. And he said, unto her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other one on thy left hand in thy kingdom. See, she thought, she didn't think about that heavenly kingdom in heaven. She was thinking about down here on earth, Jesus has become another King David. Jesus is going to destroy that Roman army, and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth as the leader of Israel. That's their mentality they had. Even the disciples, after the resurrection, and they talked, went to him out, and he said, he thought, we all thought that he's going to restore Israel. He thought, we might not solve Israel, and he's going to take Israel out of the Roman hierarchy. And that's actually what she taught here. And like I say, all the Jews taught that. Thought that's what they follow Jesus. He's going to be another King David, and another Simpson, another one of these big guys. But Jesus then said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, yeah, sure, we be able. Now see, now there, it's all a conspiracy, you know. Now they said, they're in it together, mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
They said unto him, we're able. And he said unto them, now he's addressing them, like I say, it's a conspiracy going here. They're in it together. They wanted this position so bad, and what it really is, it just exposes the human nature of people. That's what people want. They're out there still to this very day. They want to be a preacher. They want to have a position. They want to be a thunder. They want this, that, that, that. But he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and the baptism with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given them for whom it is prepared of my Father in heaven. And see, that's just part of the human nature. That's what the ambition of everybody. In fact, that was Peter's ambition. Even after the resurrection, they were grumbling around, who's going to be the greatest? You know, after the resurrection, after Jesus was resurrected, they're still amongst themselves, or before he went to the crucifixion, they were still wondering and asking who's going to be the greatest in that kid. It's all about being the greatest. And Jesus put it down here, flat out. He said, it's not for me to give. And it's like that to this day. A lot of people have a position. A lot of people want that high position. They want to be a preacher. They figure being a preacher is a very high position. But everybody wants that position. But and they're just out there doing the wrong thing.
That's right. I was talking to this lady not too long ago that I used to know from Nipah, and she moved to Edmonton. And she, I was talking to her, and she goes, what are you going to do for the kingdom? I thought, what kind of a language is that? What are you going to do for the kingdom? As if you have some kind of a say into what God is going to decide what you're going to do in the kingdom. Like, you are the one who's good, just like those sons of Zebedee and the mother, demanding a certain what they're going to do when it's all been predestinated before the foundation of the world, what God has determined that you will do and what he's created you to do. See, they try to take it into their own hands and demand, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And when God has designed and predestinated what a person will do, what position of power, what leadership they will have in the millennium, like she called it the kingdom, like it's some kind of a mysterious thing, the kingdom. But the Bible talks about it. I said, well, if you're talking about the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ or the millennium, if that's what you're talking, well, I call it the kingdom. I said, well, I call it what the Bible calls it. He calls it the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, they don't realize that in it, what you're going to do in the millennium is is what you're going to do here on this earth. Just like Jesus, he went to Calvary. He has the rights to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was created to be that. He was created to go to Calvary to make an atonement for the sins of mankind, so that when that millennium reign comes, that he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the way every human being. There are sacrifices a person has to make in order to meet that condition that mm-hmm. God requires for a certain position in the millennium.
Amen to that, because, everything has been programmed, everything been predestinated before the foundation of the world, when the Lord, the God that created the great eternal spirit, had a council with himself. You could go back in Ephesians 1 and read it over and over and over again until it becomes a living reality, that everything was blueprinted, everything was predestinated, everything was ordained way back before the foundation of the world. And then here we are, we come here in 1947, I was born, and here I come at the closing days of time, and God has a job for me to do on that. Mm-hmm. For some reason or another, I don't know why, something built in, and he built, the God of heaven built that in. The minute he saved me, the day he saved me, or the time he saved me, I began to pray, Lord, let me find my place in Christ, because I don't know why I prayed. It's something built in. It's something that the God of heaven wanted me to pray for. And then that time went on, Lord, help me be faithful in what you've called me to be, because there's nothing that you can do outside of God. There's nothing you can do outside of that predestinated position. Mm-hmm. And people think they can just go out there and do their own mm-hmm. thing and order something and just manipulate something, like this guy we're talking about that has that Eli ministry there, and just thought it was a good idea, you know. He somehow got saved, and the Lord saved him. And then the Lord saves people, they think they got to go out and convert the world. Mm-hmm. I was no better. When I got saved, man, I'm living. I thought, man, this is a gold mine. I thought I could save the world. And I went full steam ahead. And the first place I started was my family, with my siblings, you know. And I found out they don't want to be saved. And I learned a lot of lessons along the road of life by falling and stumbling. And man, I'm living. I found this spiritual gold mine, man. Like I say, I thought I could save the world. Well, I realized I have to save myself first, you know. And that's just the human nature. You got to get out of this human nature thing. Mm-hmm. You got to realize that you're a sinner, that you can't do nothing for God. It's only what you can do is, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory, because mm-hmm. there's nothing in me that will produce anything. At the end of the day, I got nothing. I cannot produce it. How can something that's corrupt produce something that's pure and holy? Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Yeah, that's why we got to crucify mm-hmm. that piece of garbage that we drag out of the bed every morning.
A lot of it is a self-made, homemade Christianity. Like, it's not the channels of God that God has ordained. Like, I had this dream yesterday. I was waiting for a parcel, and there the doorbell rang, and this guy had his parcel, and he was already opening the door to give me the parcel. And I thought, and I, as I was walking to look at the parcel, I thought, that's not what I ordered. And I thought to myself, this looks like a homemade Christianity, a gospel hall Christianity, in my package that I had. For some reason, because there was Bible verses
in the dream I had.
So I said to myself in the dream, this looks like a gospel hall Christianity package that I had in my hand that guy gave me. Anyway, so I was looking at it, and it was like a package, and it the outside, at first glance, it looked like a designer quality type of a purse, and in that was just plastic junk, And I thought to myself, well, maybe at least the purse is salvageable. And then I looked closely. It was just a homemade, cheap, made little package purse. And I thought, that's a lot of people's Christianity. It's mm-hmm. something homemade that they made and designed for themselves. And in it is just plastic junk. And that's the human nature, what they think they can bring and present to people, mm-hmm. their own offerings, just like Cain when he brought the fruits of the field as a sacrifice to God. When God didn't even look at that because of sin had entered into the picture, and Abel was able to bring God what he required, a blood sacrifice. Abel was in touch with God. He knew what God required, and that's what he brought him. That's a lot of people, Christianity, just like Cain's fruits of the field. They try to manufacture something, thinking this is what God wants, but they never really stand still long enough and walk before God humbly to find out, what does God require of me?
The thing of it is, when you had that dream, it was so timely because we were listening to that Eli ministry, and we wanted to know. We wanted to get to the bottom of that Eli ministry. It looked good, and I just tapped in to listen to one or two of his services mm-hmm. or whatever. He's a trucker, like he did what we've been doing for the last umpteen of years. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, the Lord moved on us to stop, have a conversation, tape it off, and put it out on the airwaves. And he's a trucker too, and back in his sleep, he has his preaching session going, and looks good, you know. I was intrigued with it at first, and then I listened to it a bit, and then he's bragging he's got 2 million followers. Like, imagine mm-hmm. 2 million followers on your website. And we were kind of pondering what this is all about, and we listened. It looks good. And he's got, 2 million followers and on his podcast or whatever, on his Facebook. And, at first glance, you know. Mm-hmm. But you go to the Lord about
that's
things.
Right,
you know?
That's
went,
why.
We went to the Lord, and we're pondering it, and we're discussing it among ourselves, and that's all it is. It's a homemade... It's a homemade Christian. It's a homemade proselyting thing. It's homemade stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not really what the Lord wants him to do. It's his idea. Mm-hmm. Well, he might have a good idea. He's young and he found scripture. He found Jesus, so to speak. But he's very immature. It's not like you and I are doing. Lord, use us for your glory. Do with us as you see fit. But you somehow find maybe it'll wake up some people, but it, like we said, yes, it's not our chapter, you know. It's not where we're at. It's good. Maybe a lot of people get out of it, but at the end of the day, the Lord gave you that dream, and he allowed you to see what it is. It's homemade. It's a homemade thing. To back it up with scripture, it's wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's eternal, that gold, silver, and precious stone, it's somehow something that you've allowed the Lord to do through you. Mm-hmm. And that's gold, silver, and precious stone, and that will remain. That's that reward you'll have on earth. But the thing that he's had, is, like I say, go to the Bible for an answer for that. It's just wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-hmm. And it says exactly it's going to be happening, exactly what the Bible says. He will be saved. But all that effort that he does, mm-hmm. gets up at 5 in the morning and he puts it on his YouTube and ministry for the day. But all it is, at the end of the day, it's going to be burned up because it has no eternal value. Like that Dave Walder there. And I went for a walk really before he started his Dave Walder ministry, the Dave Walder Preacher Dave, don't they know him by? And he had this radio ministry, and he had, I think it's called Outreach or something. And I walked for a walk with him, and he had this epiphany, this dream, this daydream that someday he really wants to be this big guy on the block, and he wants a radio ministry. Mm-hmm. And then once he's got this radio ministry up and going, he wants to switch it into a TV ministry. I guess he's been watching these TV evangelists, mm-hmm, and these big guys, and yeah, they got millions, and I guess it intrigued him to be one of them too. And I thought to myself, why would you waste your time on something like that, wanting to be a big TV evangelist and all that? By that time, I already was matured enough to know that there was nothing in me that could produce anything. Mm-hmm. But that was his ambition. Well, I didn't say much. I just, well, if that's what you want in life, well, go for it. And eventually he did have a radio ministry, and apparently he had quite a bit of followers, and he was on the radio all the way to Alberta and Montana, and a lot of callings listened to him. But at the end of the day, it's exactly what the Bible said. It's not but wood, hay, and stone, because I know the guy. I was at this meeting already. I was at this prayer meeting. I know exactly what he's about, because at the end of the day, it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. So why? All his life, he put all that much effort in, and then he got COVID, and then he died, you know, and it's all up and nothing there, you know. I don't know, maybe they're just continuing on. But just to clear everything up, it looked good, it sounded good, but all it is what he had said, there's no eternal value whatsoever. And because he didn't, I told him I got baptized in Jesus' name, I told my brother Brent, and he told me, don't you come near my place with that kind of religion. And here, as close to Jesus now, I found out that's the very essence of life. It's the ministry of William Branham. Mm-hmm. And it gets clearer and clearer to you and I so much, that's all we talk about. Wasn't the church age of Laodicea the key that opened up the church age of Laodicea? Mm-hmm. It's the fact that God sent that Malachi for a prophet. To you and I, it's so simple. And there is no there's no substitute, mm-hmm, for that. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff outside of the channel of William Branham and Raymond and Jack is nothing but wood, hay, and stuff. It's a homemade thing. It's a self-made thing. And if you get involved with that junk out there, you will be led out to hell and death, because that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. That's where it'll take you. And we're just trying to put something out there for people that's real. You know, I heard this. Even people at this truth, mm-hmm, they still have that ambition. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to be a thunder. Because before Bernard Jackson left, he said there's 7 men from this ministry. There's apparently about 20 preachers standing up on the pulpit. 7 men from this ministry is going to bring forth the thunders. Mm-hmm. Well, I believed him. Why wouldn't I? Because he said it. But as time went on, I begin to see, it doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that 7 men from this man will bring forth a thunder. And then as we went on and we drifted on and we walked on, the Lord gave you the revelation of the thunder. Mm-hmm. The thunders happened back in 1963 when Brother Branham went down to preach on the 7th seal, the 6 seals of the book of Revelation. And Monday he opened up seal number 1, and it was that angel that woke him up in the morning, and he allowed him to see what happened under that first seal. That, mm-hmm, first, that white horse rider, and he told it exactly who that white horse rider was. It was Satan riding that white horse, and he had a bow, but he didn't have any arrows. And he went on to explain. So that's when Monday it was the first thunder. Tuesday he talked about the second season. And that's when the thunder sounded way back then in 1963 down in Jeffersonville, Indiana, when he came to the pulpit every day. I could still hear Brother Jack preaching on it, about how he opened up those 7 seals. But you're the first person that brought it out that it happened back in 1963. And the truthers, the so-called truthers that were sitting under the umbrella of Brother Jackson, they're still waiting for the thunder because they want to be a thunder. Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is, they're still waiting for it. And then when everything falls apart, they got to realize, hey, I've only got 2 people in my clique here. I got to kind of start uniting, so I got at least 7 in the clique. But what they do, they unite with the different ones that came out from under the umbrella of Brother Jack. They unite themselves with Strowman. They unite themselves with Tim McKay. And before you know it, they got 10 or 12 in their clique. Now, at least they got 7 or more. Now, somehow when the Thunders come and the Thunders reveal, they'll be one of those Thunders. Mm-hmm. See how carnal the person is. Just carnality.
Uh-huh. See, that's what how it works when God knows the motives and the intent of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when your motive and the intent of your heart is not pure, then he will allow these teachings to come up, like 7 men from this ministry will sound the thunders. See, that's carnality. And then the carnal man latches on to it and saying that I want to be a thunder. See, God uses that because your motive is not right. And like it says then in Psalm 73, thou wilt set them in slippery places and cast them down into destruction.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what happens if the motive and the intent of the heart is not right. You will latch on to something so carnal that it will take you down to destruction.
Amen to that.
Because it's not built on the Word of God. It's not built on the
humility.
And yeah, absolutely on humility. And I will always say, humility goes a long way with God.
Mm-hmm.
He will move mountains for you. Mm-hmm. If he sees you walking in humility and a humble spirit, God loves, and he will just attach himself to you, walking with a humble spirit. I don't mean this false humility that you can see a lot of people orchestrating. If they clothe themselves in a way or don't comb their hair, that's humble to them. That's a hippie. Hippie type of thing. Humbleness is something that you can read in the life of David. When he sinned, he was able to humble himself in such a way that God was able to forgive him of mm-hmm. what he did. See, that's what I mean with a humbleness. A humbleness is a humbleness that God is pleased with.
Mm-hmm.
Not man, but God.
We were blessed to be brought up in an environment like in a, how do I call it, where we had to memorize all these German songs, and to this day, they're a tremendous inspiration to me. And there's a song, "Damit ist die Schäfste du," and I'm trying to translate it. Humility is the best thing that you can do for yourself. And then there, it says, I don't know if you can translate it, "Wer da nichts will sein und wissen, der ist dem Gott ehrig." Somebody that's walking humbly before the Lord, and he just wants to be humble. It's all he cares about. And it's a person like that, according to that song, that the Lord gives grief. The Lord will lift up a person like that. "Wer da nichts will sein und wissen, der ist dem Gott ehrig." It's being that nothing, being that nobody. Don't want that being that big guy in the block. It's the opposite mm-hmm. of that. That's not where it's at, because as time goes on, you'll find out it's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. And it's exactly what I said before. His works will be burned up. All that fuss that he puts on out there to 2 to 3 million followers, it'll all be burned up. And his soul will be saved. That's what it says. His soul will be saved, but his works will be burned up, because it's nothing but what he has done. It has no eternal life. It's like you said in the dream you had. It's just homemade Christianity. It's just proselyting. There's no value. There's nothing in it. But I'm trying to say, when you're down here on earth and you only have 50, 70, 80 years maybe, and you might as well do something that you have, something that's valuable, something that's worth gold, silver, and precious mm-hmm. stone when you get on the other side. And I'm grateful that the Lord, when he saved me, he gave me that scripture. He let me know, "Sam, I can only reward you what you have allowed me to do through you. That's something I'm eternally grateful for. So I don't waste my time going out there and starting up this ministry and have 2-3 million people on my listening to me. That's not where it's at. It's just saying, just get out of the way. Let me use you. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a reward. I'll be able to pay you because you've allowed me to use you for my glory, not for yours, because you're nothing but, as time went on, we realized we're sinners and there's nothing good in us. And we're only doing what the Lord's blueprint. We're just following that stream. We're building on the house that God built, mm-hmm. that God is building, that city that Moses went out to see, that Abraham went out to see, that all the city that John saw coming down, all these things that we're interconnected. That's why His truth is marching on, and we somehow have tapped into that tremendous heavenly knowledge, heavenly understanding, because there's nothing in us, there's nothing that we desire, there's nothing that we want to be, we just want to be able to be found faithful and true what God has created us to be. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. It says in the translated text, "He who is humble is popular with everyone. He who will be and know nothing, it is he to whom God gives honor. Wer da nichts will sein und wissen." Who doesn't want to make a name for himself, basically.
Yeah.
It is he to whom God gives honor.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it's saying in that song.
Well, what the thing of it is when you go back to the scripture, God would say, God will stay at an half-hearting, but then they're meeting and get them out. How does that, how does it say? God gives grace to the humble or something?
Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble."
If these people that want to be a town, or these people that want to be the guy in the block, can you see how God resists them?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of pushes them away.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But then He gives grace to the humble. It's like a magnet. If a humble person is humble, it's like a magnet drawing him to God, you
mm-hmm.
know. And if a guy wants to make a name for himself, he wants to be this guy in the block, he wants to be just another Nimrod number two, and let's go and make a name for ourselves. It's all part of the human trait. And if you haven't took to the cross of Calvary, and you haven't crucified that ambition, then you'll be exactly what it says. God will resist you. Imagine God resisting you instead of giving grace to the humble. So save yourself a lot of mileage and just want to be what God created you to be. If you want to be a door sweeper or whatever, be a good door sweeper, you know?
That's
all I ever want. I just always want to just be what the Lord wanted me to be, what the Lord created me to be. That's all I ever want to be. I don't want to be this big guy in the block. And believe you me, when God will want to use you, you won't be this big guy in the block. You'll be terminated. You'll be shunned.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be cast out. You'll be treated like scum and everything like that. That's just the way it is. And that's how Jesus was treated.
Mm-hmm.
And He said, "As my Father gave me my kingdom, the very thing that I went through in life, that's exactly what you're going to have to go through to get your kingdom." Because it's the Father's great pleasure to give us a kingdom. But He's not going to give it to you on a silver platter.
Yeah,
He's going to give it to humility and things like that.
And it comes with a price.
Yep.
It doesn't just grow on a tree and you pick it off like an apple. It's like it's already made for you. It comes with a price. You're going to have to pay a price.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, you want what we have. You want to follow what we're doing. You'll never be able to do what God requires of you and I. You'll never be able, like a few years back, the Lord put me on the 40-day fast. Then the next year, He put me on another 40-day fast. 3 years in a row. I'm not just talking. I'm not just bragging either. I'm just telling people what we had to go through to get where we are today and the things we had to go through. Had to leave your home. A perfect family was terminated, treated like a vagabond overnight simply because we want to follow the Lord. And that's the price we had to pay. Like some people, they can't even fast for a day or for a week. Well, the Lord put me on a fast for 40 days. 3 years in a row because I needed to lose weight. I had to lose 100 pounds. And I got there somehow. And still have to always fight the weight problem. Because it's in our genes, it's in our genetics. Something that I battle with every day. But like I'm trying to say, you want to go through what we had to go through, like that woman, like Jesus told that woman, can you drink the cup, you know? Mm-hmm. Can you go through what I'm going to have to go through? Can you go to Calvary? Can you drink the cup? Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, well, he said, you will definitely drink the cup. But for me to give you a position, it's not for me to give anybody a mm-hmm. position. It's been ordained before the foundation of the world. Here, that's one thing about here. You're going to hear the truth. You may not like what you hear because we don't have this camouflage, this easy so-called Christianity, this homemade Christianity. We don't have that here. We just have whatever the Lord, we go back to the scripture and we see it in the scripture like he told that woman, it's not for me to give. It's given to those that my Father has ordained from before the foundation of the world to give it to you. It's not for me to give. It's not a position that you order like on a Sears catalog. You order mm-hmm. a position. Or like this Russell David, oh, I want to be a thunder. It's not something that you order in or you work for. It's just something that you try your level best to walk humbly before the Lord so he can bring you to that place that he created you mm-hmm. for. Just that simple. It's not that complicated. We're saying things that are very simple, but the natural man doesn't like what we say. So what does he do? He chills out because there's no room here for the ego, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no ego trip here. That's a good place to be because you don't have to exhaust yourself day and night searching for something to talk about. The Lord gives it to you while you're sleeping. And that's just the way it is here in this chapter, and that's not a very... it's not appealing to the flesh, so to speak.
That's right.
That's something to build your ego. Mm-hmm. You want to pray?
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for open up your word and be able to come before you and talk to you and expound on your word, Lord, and help people to understand your ways and how you do things that... people can't just decide one day this is what they're going to do and that's who they're going to be. It's all created, designed by you before the foundation of the world, what you have created each individual for. So we'll just pray that you'll help and open up their understanding, that you have a specific place for each and every one of us, that they'll find that place in Christ and that they'll excel in it and do what you have created them to do. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.